Hare Krishna. So, today we'll be doing a Leela summary, focusing on the life of, or the character of Prahlad Maharaj. So when we speak of Prahlad Maharaj, naturally we'll be speaking of Lord Nrsimhadev. So, before... instead of chanting Jai Radha Madhava today, I wanted to give you something special. Back in 1969, Srila Prabhupada was first starting his movement in London. And the devotees who had first started there came in contact with the immortal Beatles. So does this generation know who the Beatles are? Yes. Yes. Okay. Good. So they are the immortals of the age, practically, and so Srila Prabhupada was speaking with George Harrison, John Lennon, and Yoko Ono, and he was speaking about. And of course, what are the Beatles known for? They're known for songs and for singing songs. So Srila Prabhupada took this, you know, having become acquainted with them, he wanted to encourage them, and he wanted to sing a song to them. And so I was going to play that. It was like a, I guess it would be called a cappella. Yeah. So it was just no musical instruments. And although it was a song, Prabhupada called it a song, it was three verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj. And so it was very wonderful, very sweet to hear Srila Prabhupada sing it. So instead of Jai Radha Madhava, I thought we'd listen to that. But just before that, Prabhupada says a couple lines, and I have those recorded also, but just even before that, he says, "So you have got a very good talent, music. The Vedic mantras were all through music, Samaveda. Samaveda is full of music." And then he quotes a verse explaining Samaveda. And so we'll start it there. And then it's very sweet to hear Srila Prabhupada sing this. Hopefully I have it queued correctly.
Samaga. Samaga means the follower to Samved, Gayanti. Then always in music, musical, true musical vibration, they are approaching the Supreme. Samaga. Gayanti. Gayanti means singing. So Vedic mantras are sung. This whole Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, can be sung very nicely. And it is Vedic mantra chanting simply by hearing the vibration, people will benefit. Even they do not understand.
Simply by hearing the vibration, people will be benefited, even if they do not understand. And actually, Srila Prabhupada doesn't translate this, these three verses. Maybe we'll hear why, but he doesn't translate. He just wanted to sing it for the Beatles.
You got that? Just this mantra I chant. Just please.
Huh? Nate vidu shatratin hi Vishnu. Durar sayaji bahiratamanina andhad thandhai rupani yamana steti satantra urdami badhya matim na krishne parato sato va mitho vipadde tagriha pratanam matim na krishne parato chato ba mitho vipaddeta griha vratana adanta gobhi visatam tamesam puna puna char vitachar bananam adanta gobhi visatam tamesam puna puna char vitachar bananam nate vidu sarthagatim vishnu durasayaji bhajirathamanina andhajathandai rupaniyamana tepi satantra urdhamni bandhya Naishanamatistavadurukramanghi Prishatanathopa gamojadatha Naishanamatistavadurukramanghi Prishatanathopa Gamo jadartha Mahi asan pado rajo visekam Mahi asan pado rajo visekam Niskinchanana navnita java
So, Prabhupada goes on. It's very sweet, very spontaneous for him to sing that to the Beatles. Imagine, you know, if the Beatles were here, would we have the courage to try to sing something a cappella for them? And Srila Prabhupada was fearless. He could do that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So as we mentioned, we'll be hearing about Prahlad Maharaj today, and the whole seventh canto, practically speaking, is of this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev, who is gracing our walls here. And so we certainly can't summarize an entire canto in a half hour, but I was going to just bring out some highlights of this pastime and how it is very relatable to us. Sometimes we see a picture of Nrisimhadev. This picture of Nrisimhadev is very sweet, calm, and maybe, there's a lion head and a four-handed body, but I can accept that, or it's not too hard to accept, knowing that God can appear for his devotee in any way. But when we see other pictures of Nrisimhadev, where the description of Nrisimhadev is very gruesome, practically speaking, and we'll hear why. Sometimes it's hard for those newly coming to Krishna consciousness to understand why the Lord comes as this form. And so, why? I guess we could ask the question, what is the one word answer of why Nrisimhadev comes in this form to Prahlad? One word. That's something he did, yes. Yes, he had pleasure, I'm sure. Love, yes. The Lord appears to his devotee out of love. And the devotee is always in love with the Lord. There's no impediment to that. So as we hear the pastime, we'll understand a little more how Nrisimhadeva is appearing because of the love of his devotee, Prahlad. But today's verse, it is in a prose, so it's not really easy to chant. I'm going to just chant it through, and we'll read the translation. This is obeisances to Nrisimhadeva, so it's a very good way to start hearing about Nrisimha and Prahlad. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste jas tejase arvir arvir bhava vajja nakra vajja damstra karmasayan randya randya tamagrasa grasa om swaha abhayam abhayam atmani bhuishta om shom. So this is a wonderful verse, many interesting words. Vajra Naka, the fingernails. Vajra Damstra, the teeth. Vajra is thunderbolt. yeah. Wow, that's good. Randaya. Destroying. So the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So this is spoken by Śrīla Prahlāda to his Supreme Lord and Master, Lord Nrisimhadeva. And we sometimes think, as we're learning in Krishna consciousness, oh, we pray to Nrisimhadeva for protection. But what are we praying to be protected against or from? Yes. Yeah, we may think, oh yeah, if you're in a difficult position, you know, if somebody's attacking you, pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva. We can do that. Or if we're being, if you're in a very scary situation, you pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to be relieved from that very frightening situation. But Prahlad Maharaj here is saying, of all those frightening situations, whether somebody's attacking you with weapons or somebody's accosting you in one way or another, or you're just alone or in a frightful, what is the most fearful? It is this tamas, this being brought down into ignorance. This is what I am afraid of, and this is what I am begging for you to relieve me from and protect me from. So this is a very wonderful insight into the heart of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad, as the story goes, and again, we'll just very briefly summarize the story of Prahlad. He was the son of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu was called Suryavarya. Varya means the king, and Asura means the king of the demons. So he wasn't just a bad guy, he was the bad guy. The baddest guy around. And he had conquered over not only this planet and the universe, but even the heavenly realms where he drove out the demigods from their positions. And so he was just the baddest guy you can think of. And his name, Hiranyakashipu, means he takes pleasure in gold and soft beds and just total materialism. And this was, again, what Prahlada is asking, to be driven away from. I don't want these material desires one after another. So he was very powerful, and he had his wife, and then his power came from austerity. And so he had his wife, and his wife was pregnant at the time. But at that time, he went to perform austerities to become even more powerful, to become, in his words, he wanted to become immortal. So he performed these very severe austerities. We hear some of the descriptions, standing on one leg, hands in the air, for year after year after year. And it was, again, what to achieve what? We do so many austerities in our lives. We know, well, what's austere? Getting up early or going to work or doing different duties. These are austere. But this is, you know, beyond our conception of what an austere austerity could be. So he wanted to please Lord Brahma, who has the ability, being the creator of the material universes, as a servant to Krishna, he had the ability to give certain benedictions. So his goal was to attain benediction. And Lord Brahma, after being pestered by the other demigods, because Hiranyakashipu's austerities were so powerful, they were affecting the whole universe. So Lord Brahma said, "What do you want?" And so, one at a time, can we remember the requests that he... What was the first request? That could not be granted. That's a hint.
Immortality.
Yeah, I want immortality. I don't want to ever die. That's what I want. Well, Brahma said, well, I may have a very fantastically long life as creator, but even I am not immortal. How can I give you immortality? So, sorry, can't do that one. All right. So he put his thinking cap on. What was one of the he tried to do, you know, do a loophole, find the loopholes. So what was one of, yes, Sundari? Right, that's one. Couldn't be killed during the day or the night. Okay, that's a good start. Yes?
Couldn't be killed by a man or beast.
Yeah, couldn't be killed by a man or a beast. Next, yes?
Couldn't be killed either inside or outside.
Right, couldn't be killed inside or outside. Any more?
No weapon?
Yeah, no weapon could kill him. What else? Yeah? Right. Land, space, or sea? Yes?
Day or night.
Day or night. And I think there's one more. Yes?
Didn't he say that even Krishna couldn't kill him? Didn't he ask for that?
Well, originally he asked immortality, that nobody could kill him, but Brahma couldn't. There's one more, at least I can remember. Yes? We said that, man or beast, right, yeah.
Or
demigod, right, demigod. Yes? Yeah. Living or dead, okay. Oh, yeah, that's an important one. That's the Vajra. The Vajra Nastra. There's one more I'm thinking of. Yes? I think the weapon, I think when it said weapon, it said any type of weapon, water weapon, fire weapon. Could not be killed either inside or outside. Oh, we said that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then I think we got him covered. That's what he thought too. I got it covered. We're all set. So then, now you just, oh, now. Imagine having all of those lined up. Imagine the you know, the ego that would be built up, and the, you know, the power you would feel. Oh, nobody could do me any harm, no matter where I am, what time of day it is, day or night it is. Oh, so he thought he'd become very peaceful. So during this time, when he was doing his austerities, the demigods took this as an opportunity. Oh, Hiranyakashipu is away. Let's destroy Hiranyakashipu's capital. And not only that, but his wife Kayadu is pregnant. Let's kidnap her. And when the child is born, we can just imagine, if this is the stature and quality of the father, just imagine how demoniac the child would be. So we have to save ourselves from future as well. So they kidnapped Kayadu, and with this intention that when she would give birth, they would kill the child. However, Narada Muni, knowing these things very well, he came there and he said, "Don't worry about this child. This child will be a pure devotee of Krishna. And even if you wanted to, you could not kill this child. Nobody can." So at this time, the demigod said, "Okay." And then Kayadu was kind of, you know, what should I do? Where should I go? You know, because the demigods had taken over the capital. So Narada Muni said, "You can come and live in my ashram." And there Narada Muni instructed her, and also by this sound vibration, as we heard Prabhupada say to the Beatles, we may not understand the sound vibration, but it takes effect. So even the child in the womb was hearing these Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing spiritual knowledge from Narada Muni, and became completely knowledgeable in all forms of Vedic understanding, all forms of religion, economic development, spiritual life. So this was this. So Hiranyakashipu came back very proud. "Okay, where's my son? Where's my wife? Okay, now my son, he's four or five years old. Now we have to send him to school." So he found two of his best teachers. Teachers of what?
Materialism.
Yes, this is you know, of course, a lot of education these days, it's understanding the material elements, and understanding material interactions, and how to progress in a material way. So this was heightened, certainly, by Hiranyakashipu, that this is what he wanted. So send him to school. And so after some time, he brought his son in, you know, just report card time. Let me see your report card. Okay, what have you learned? What have you learned? And so there are a number of times this happened. Two or three times, Hiranyakashipu would bring his son in and would ask him, what have you learned? What's the best thing of your learning? And then Prahlad Maharaj would remember those teachings of Narada Muni instead of these teachings of his teachers, Sandhu Marka. So he would say, you know, hearing about, chanting about, remembering Krishna, serving his lotus feet, worshipping him, offering prayers to him, surrendering, completely becoming his friend. This is the best, you know, this is the best thing. And Hiranyakashipu, "Well, what is this? Oh, my enemy Vishnu must have infiltrated the school." So he puts some more pressure on his teachers. "You go and you teach him harder. You know, make sure he learns, you know, how to become, you know, the king, the prince of the demons." So again, they went teaching him, and Prahlad, you know, seemingly looked, you know, like, "Okay, I'm learning. Then again he comes back, and then again. Then these three verses that Srila Prabhupada sang for us were spoken by Prahlad. Let me get that. No, that's the wrong one. I don't. 350. I will know in a moment here. It is 5:30. 7:30. Yes. So Prahlad Maharaj is, as we heard Prabhupada, "Matir na Krishne paratatsatova mito bipadyeta griha vritanam adanta gobir visitam tamishram punak panas charvita charvananam." He replied, because sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hiranyakashipu asks, where did you get this knowledge? Where did you get this understanding from? Certainly my teachers are not teaching this. Where did you get it? And so Prahlad speaks very philosophically where he got it. It's not that you can get it just anywhere. You can go to the store, you can go to a class, and you can just get it. It speaks very philosophically. It says, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclination towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instruction of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. So you can't get this knowledge just by, you know, instructions of others, by your own efforts, or a combination of both. Their inclination, that inclination, where does that come from? Because if we are materially entangled, we are constantly in contact with that material energy, which is binding us, as he says in the next verse. Natet vitu svargat gatim hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahirartamanina adantayatayar upaniyamanas tapishya tantram uridam nibadha. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return back home, back to Godhead, and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering threefold miseries. So, here's the reason. You can't learn from these teachers you've given me. This isn't from them. Certainly, don't be mad at them. there's no way they could have taught me this. And then he gives where this knowledge, where Krishna consciousness comes from. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav completely freed from material contaminations, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one become freed from material contamination. So, Prabhupada quoted these verses again and again through his preaching. Now, why do you suppose, think of some reasons, why do you suppose these verses and this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj is very relatable by us in his preaching? Yes, Chaitanya.
Because most of us come from demoniac parents. And we can relate to the torture.
Yes. Okay. At least materialistically attached parents, we could say. Good. Yes.
Because we are all getting an education based on demoniac principles, mm-hmm. and I think we can relate to that, how they are misguided, and they are not giving us the ultimate solution for ourselves.
Right. Yeah, one of Srila Prabhupada's, and again, we look at the Veda base and we try to bring numbers up, but, you know, at least there's so many times he speaks on this one verse by Prahlad Maharaj of how education should start at a very young age. That education of the soul, of understanding who we are and what is our duty in the material world, this was stressed by Prahlad Maharaj and by Srila Prabhupada. And I think it's such an attractive pastime trying to understand these teachings of Prahlad, and it's very relatable in the sense that like we said, we come from a materialistically engrossed culture. That this is how we're taught, you know, and more actually, we see, you know, when I was a kid, or when Kalakanta Prabhu was a kid, or some of us older folks, you know, kindergarten was a breeze. It was just playtime practically, and even first and second grade was very light. This and that. Now it's like, you know, head start this, fast start this, fast track that. You know, everything has to be, you know, when you're 2 years old, you know, start playing stuff so that, you know, you have to start learning other languages even, you know. It's just like driven that you, to get ahead in this world, you have to have this education. And certainly it is important that that education is given. But with the lack of education of who we are actually are, it becomes very detrimental. Because what happens when you see, we live in a university community, we see, you know, every year 10, 15,000 people graduating, and they're all very qualified, but they're, what are they doing with it? Is there jobs? Is there sufficient activity for them? There's no, you know, and so it's like, whether it goes back a few years or go forwards a few years in terms of your education, the struggle for existence is still there. Whether you started at 18 or whether you started at 24 or whether you started at 30, the struggle for existence, for survival, is still there and strong. The strong cords, as Prahlad Maharaj, they bind us. We're bound in that cycle. That freeing, Om Magana Tamarandasa, that slicing open of those cords or unbinding us is given by the pure Vaishnava, by the devotee. Only by them is that knowledge, that particular knowledge, which is permanently good for us, is that given. So Srila Prabhupada, I think he liked to speak about Prahlad Maharaj because, again, we're all coming from that culture of, yes, whether we had demoniac parents or materialistically attached parents or a materialistically attached upbringing, the odds were stacked against us, let's say. Just like Prahlad, the odds were stacked against him. He was in the Asura camp, the demoniac camp, and all of his teachers and all of his friends and everybody around him were, again, being taught and embracing this materialistic way of life. So the odds were stacked against him that how could he become not only a great devotee, but one of the greatest devotees in our Vedic understanding. There's a description that... To understand Krishna consciousness, you have to hear it from authorities. Through the histories, there are considered 12 great authorities called Mahajans. And Prahlad is considered one of these Mahajans. And why? Because even though the odds were stacked against him, he became fully Krishna conscious and showed it. So much so that the Lord himself appeared to him in a wonderful way, just to relieve him of any material discomfort, material impediment. So I think similarly, we're brought up, the odds are stacked against us, that wherever we go outside of this building, there's so many things. Hardly anything is reminding us of a higher consciousness, of a higher goal of life. Everything, you know, is geared toward this material life, again, those strong cords binding us. So I think it's very relevant, this past. Some of the pastimes, some of the great devotees, they're very nice to hear, but, you know, we, at least for Prahlad Maharaj, we can really relate that, yes, you know, it's relatable. As Prahlad was able to do it, so are we. So... we have to get moving through the pastime. So Hiranyakashipu became disgusted at this, that, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm done with this kid. throws him off his lap, and then he proceeds to put some very ghastly circumstances towards Prahlad, trying to actually hurt him or beat him into submission, putting him into one situation after another, to torture him, practically speaking. And each time, what was Prahlad? Prahlad was just, he was in this mood of complete concentration on Krishna. And when we hear of the nine processes of devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj is exemplary in this Vishnu Smaranam, correct? That, so he's always remembering Krishna in every circumstance. And what a wonderful teaching that is for us. You know, in every circumstance, we have to see how is Krishna arranging this particular circumstance for me to grow, for me to mature, for me to learn from. And so this is very important. So again and again, he would do something. He would poison his food. Prahlad would offer the food, and Krishna would take the poison out. Oh, how is this happening? Ranyakashipu would become amazed. Oh, let's trample him with elephants. The elephants would come, they would begin to trample, then Prahlad would be sitting and praying to Krishna, and Krishna within the heart of the elephant, take Prahlad, put him on his back triumphantly, and parade around. Again and again, so many different tortures, so many different things were happening to Prahlad, but he was protected, and Ranyakashipu was at his wit's end. You know, what is going on? Who are you? Are you some demigod? Or, you know, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad says, from the same place you do, Pita. You know? From God, from Krishna. And he's just like, I don't want to hear this name Krishna anymore. Where is this Krishna? He's everywhere, Father. Is he everywhere? Is he in the pillar? Yes, he's in the pillar, Father. So Aranyakashipu, powerful with his sword, comes and strikes the pillar. And so we you know, I started, why does Nrisimhadev come? What is that one word answer? He comes out of love for his devotee. So to prove his devotee's words true, because imagine, you know, you have somebody in your life who, no matter what circumstance, no matter what happens to them, either by neglect or but whatever circumstance, they continue to love you. Imagine the reciprocation you want to give to that person. And so Krishna, Lord Nrisimha, is seeing this. No matter what circumstance Prahlad is put in, he is completely 100% without fail, without stopping, ahoitakiya pratiyata, constantly thinking and loving me. Oh, how can I not love him? So out of love for his devotee, he comes in this form of Nrisimhadev, out of the pillar. And so what were the circumstances? We had this whole list of things we were able to say, well, okay. You know, Hiranyakashipu had this list of boons that he would not be killed inside out, land and water, man or beast, day or night, etc. So how is this form of Nrisimhadev? How did it appear? How did he appear? Half man, half lion. He defeated the man or beast. He's half man. You can't say he was a man. You can't say he was a beast. Yes, Clay? Yeah, he appeared at dusk. It wasn't day, it wasn't night. Boon is good. Jaya Nrisimha. Any more? What else? Yes, Laura?
He put Hiranyakashipu on his lap, so it wasn't on the land or in the air.
Right. Boon good, Jaya Nrisimha. What else? Yeah? Yes, in the threshold. Threshold of the door. You're not in, you're not out. Boon good, Jaya Nrisimha. Yes? Yes. Couldn't be killed by any weapon, by anything living or dead. The nail. Is it lev? Is it alive? Is it dead? I don't know. You know? Boon good, Jaya Nrisimha. Any more? What was that? That covers them. Nice. So, out of love, he comes in this magnificent form to Prahlad, and so he destroys, dismantles this Hiranyakashipu very easily, just as we chant every day, just like you would pinch a wasp, very easily. So now Nrisimhadeva appeared. He was very angry at how Prahlad was treated. He was very angry. And so everybody came. Everybody was praying, of course, to Krishna to come and take care of this demon, all the demigods and everything. So they came. And you know, when you see somebody angry, what's your first reaction? Or what do you normally do? And stay away. Keep giving them the space. So Nrisimhadeva was very angry. He was sitting on Hiranyakashipu's throne in extreme anger. And so Lord Shiva came, offered prayers, and Indra came, and the Kanaras, and the Charanas, and all the different demigods, all the sages came. They're offering prayers. Please be pacified. Please be pacified. He was just very angry. Continual anger. And then Brahma goes, Prahlad, you know, I think only you can pacify him. So Prahlad, he was never fearful of any condition. Why would he be fearful of this condition? He saw his Lord in this feature, in this form of Nrisimhadeva. So he was certainly not afraid at all. And so he came before him, and he offered these most wonderful prayers. And just by bowing down before him, immediately Nrisimhadeva became pacified, and a smile on his face, and he patted him on his head, showing this deep relationship between the two of them. And so if you have time, read the prayers. The prayers are so wonderful. They're so beautiful prayers of Prahlad, and then the statements of Nrisimhadeva. But Nrisimhadeva kept asking, Prahlad, take some boon. Take something. And so when he heard this, Prahlad, he became a little, I wouldn't say upset, but he was, he didn't like to hear this at all. And this is a very key understanding in how we prosecute service to Krishna. You know, are we serving Krishna to get something, to get some material benediction, or even spiritual benediction? Why are we serving Krishna? And so there's a few verses here I wanted to read from the 10th chapter. Narada said, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisimhadeva, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. So, oh, yes, I will give you long life. I will give you the kingdom. I don't want this. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. He said, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly don't tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason I have taken shelter at Lotus feet. And he goes on to say, but then this very wonderful verse showing the heart of Prahlad. Let's see. Yeah, it is number 6. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. This is that understanding of sambandha, what that relationship is. And understanding it, and that's all he wanted to act upon, is abhideya. That's all I want to do. I'm your servant. That's all. Don't ask me to take anything. I don't want anything. I just want your service. So Prahlad certainly is very wonderful to hear about all his activities, and we've just touched upon them. But we can have this relationship, just as Prabhupada was saying, just by hearing these things, we become purified and we become, they take effect. So by hearing about these pastimes, of these intimate relationships between the Lord and his devotees, they inspire us and they help us on this path. So that's my presentation. We can have commentary or questions or realizations. Yes. Hi, Ron.
What about the one that Prabhupada sings to the Beatles? That was 7:5.
And if you want to hear the class, the whole class, there's a lot of other subjects, but it was 9/11/1969 in London. Go right ahead. You have a microphone? We have to hear this out loud.
The advancing devotee begins to discriminate between those who are inimical and those who are innocent. So it's important that we understand the difference. Some people are actively antagonistic, maybe to our faith or to religion in general. And those are people we certainly want to avoid. And then there are others who are just unaware of it. And because of their own lack of spiritual education, cannot recognize or appreciate a spiritual experience in someone else. So it's good to be a little discreet and give people the benefit of a doubt. I just wanted to say they may be innocent, although we should be able to tell if they're actually antagonistic.
Yeah, actually, I had another wonderful, beautiful quote from Prahlad Maharaj, again, back in the fifth canto. These are different prayers. And this time of year, from Thanksgiving to the Christmas holidays, it is naturally that everyone has this mood. What is it? Goodwill toward peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's it? So this is a natural, you know, emotion that is evoked in this time of year, at least in the Western countries. So it's not a new thing. Prahlad Maharaj speaks very, from his own father's point of view, even he wasn't antagonistic toward his demoniac father. Yes, he called him Asurya Varya, king of demons, but still, even at the end, when Nisringadev persisted, no, you must take something. Okay, please, for my dear father, please relieve him of his sins. So compassionate. It was never like, yes, there's us and them. Or there's material education and spiritual education. It's, you know, we can sometimes immaturely make those two walls very high from either side. So Prahlad Maharaj wasn't like that, and he didn't teach like that. And here he says, and this is such a wonderful verse, may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga or devotion for Krishna. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. This is the devotee's vision. This is what we want to cultivate. That we as Kalakanta Prabhu, we understand there's innocence out there, but because of the conditioning or the world in which we are, and the culture in which we are in, you know, they have a whole different mindset. But by giving them compassion, welfare, Krishna consciousness, we can see they're, you know, that they'll also become happy. They'll become calm. They'll become pacified. I'll say, you know, sometimes Kalakanta asks me to speak on personal things. I guess it's interesting to some. When I first became a devotee, I had very inimical parents. And they had bad association. I had joined with four other friends when I moved into the temple. We were all from a very small town, and all our parents knew each other. And there was a anti-Krishna consciousness or anti-religious movement going on in the late 70s and early 80s. And they were coined as deprogrammers. And so two of my friends, my comrades, they were kidnapped and they were taken away. And, you know, and then they were kind of forced, actually, to again take up materialistic life. You know, they lock you up in a room and they indulge you with so many things, drugs, sex, you know, horrible things, force you to eat only, you know, things that we would not consider eating. And so one by one we saw my friends, and again, because we're from a small town, our parents were, but I could see that they were just getting this information that, oh, these, and again, that false information that, you know, what is Krishna consciousness? What is the Hare Krishna movement? Oh, it is, they're antisocial, they're this, they're that, they'll take away your son, they'll have no prosperity, they'll be horrible, horrible people, and they'll go to hell, and all this. So they become fearful. They became fearful. And so again, by that association, they became fearful. And then they try this extreme means. So, it was fearful for us too, because I knew I was next. And when I visited home, they weren't home, but I saw that they were already preparing, and there was, you know, contracts out, and thousands and thousands of dollars spent in attempts to kidnap me and take me away. And I remember just being so afraid. It was so fearful. And I remember this devotee, his name was Vishvatumukha, and I don't know where he is now, but he was the first person who told me the story of Nrisingadev. And I remember the car. It was a Pinto, a Ford Pinto, and we were driving to. We had a Luglu factory in Providence, Rhode Island, where we made Luglus, and they're called Energy Crunches, Energy Crunch, and we would package them and send them to health food stores. And I remember from the temple and Glendale Avenue in Providence to the Luglu factory, he was telling me the story because two of my friends were kidnapped and taken away, and I was just like, wow. You know, I was just amazed. And so I became very attached to this story of Prahlad Maharaj and him taking shelter of, and I even felt at some point that even though I was still afraid, that if I was kidnapped and taken away, I know that Nrisingadev would protect. And then so many things happened, and there were attempts, and running around Boston and running away. And so finally, to get away from it all, I moved to Puerto Rico. And for the first time, I saw, you know, a deity of Nrisingadev. And it was just like, because, you know, there were no deities of Nrisingadev where I went, the other temples I had been to. And so it was like this culmination that, oh, Nrisingadev was very protecting. You know, so if we take shelter of Nrisingadev, take shelter of Prahlad Maharaj, the Vaishnavas, as Prahlad Maharaj says, if we smear upon our bodies the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, we will attain this perfection. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.